Hello and welcome to the 21st Manx Footy Pod of the season. For this week's podcast, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by Douglas and District's testimonial man, Richard Brandt, ahead of his departure from the island at the end of the month. Rich, welcome to Podcast Towers. It's with mixed emotions today, Dave, isn't it?
Yes, I'm a little bit upset over here, to be honest.
We've got you in because you're leaving the island in a couple of weeks, aren't you, mate?
Yeah, and even going back down south. Yeah, England.
You're keeping it nice and vague, just so the stalkers can't find you. Yeah. Anyone you've handed out a particularly big disciplinary ban to.
Not many people know where Reading is, just just going back, Reading, got three kids, young kids, no family on the island, so I thought it was best to in a relationship with their families and stuff.
So is it 13 years you've been here now?
Yeah.
Been longer?
Yeah, 13.
Man and boy.
Let me know when I get to man, I'll let you know.
Well, before we delve deeper into the Richard Brandt story, I suppose we should start with the traditional biscuits review.
There's a twist this week.
There is a massive twist, a tremendously well-received twist as well.
Yeah, you've been ecstatic ever since you saw this.
Richard's brought some biscuits in for us as well.
We've got a double hit of biscuits.
We've got double hits of biscuits. So, right, Dave, you went to the garage, you got some penguins, didn't you?
Yeah, we pretty much had everything.
Well, you can have a penguin, go on,
Did they start
joking? The joke?
Hang on, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, they've still got the joke.
Oh, of course they have.
They've got smaller, though, haven't they, inside?
Well, this is a thing now, isn't it? It's an official decrease in size of foods, like there's Snickers and stuff. It's quite bad
for it. It was only a pad for the packet, so.
I had a selection box at Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it's
ridiculous.
Right,
do you want to go?
Yeah, you go first. Right, what's your guess?
Thank you. What do you call 500 penguins in Trafalgar Square?
A lot.
I don't know.
You're not far off. Lost.
Oh!
You took the TNS on the wrong way.
Dave?
Alright, what do penguins wear to the beach?
That's a good question, isn't it?
I know you always envisage.
Flippers!
No, good shout, but no.
I wouldn't even hazard a guess.
A bikini.
A bikini,
yeah.
Classic. Easy for you to say that one, right? Drum roll. How do penguins get around?
I don't know much about penguin banter, I can't.
On a bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
They can use that for anything like Arctic or.
Yeah, to be honest, to the people at Penguin, they must have to come up with a lot of penguin based puns.
No, they must hate it.
Yeah, well, I reckon they've got a crack team that are just sat there writing penguin-based puns. That's their whole entire...
Or Google it, yeah.
There's not much there, though. It's black and white.
Yeah. But this is where, because you've got, there's different variations of penguin, isn't there? King and Emperor and stuff like that. So there's probably some sort of pun
you've been watching David Attenborough again?
I love Blue Planet.
There you go.
It's pretty good. Happy Feet's a good film as well.
Probably a pun about that.
We are branching out. I like it.
Penguins. Bob on. Very good. Good shout out, right, so we've got Foxes Viennese, lovingly baked since 1853. I haven't only went in the shop that one.
Oh, yeah, I think.
Milk chocolate. Right, we'll have some of them in at half time, I think. Yeah. Right, so we get sidetracked with the biscuits every week, don't we?
Every time.
It's a cul-de-sac we find ourselves down every week.
Well, we can't help it. We just get so excited by it. We don't get fed in this office, so...
Yeah, it's a good point. Oh, the fruit's all. We do get a fruit basket once.
Too well.
But it goes by about Tuesday. Dave has about half of it. You're returning to the south of England. You've already talked about this. Yeah. Did you expect to be in the Isle of Man for 13 years?
Not really. Me and the girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, just moved over with a previous employer, and then... Yeah, it was just, I suppose we just had, I was 19, she was 17, and we just went, just go for it, and to be honest, I didn't think I'd be here that long.
No.
Never thought you'd live the high life at D&D.
Great, no, I love it, yeah, it's lovely.
Of course, obviously you worked at Barclays, and that's obviously how you, I presume, came into contact with the ragtag bunch that is Douglas and Districts.
Yeah.
In their previous incarnation, were of course Barclays FC for a while.
Yeah, Mr. Looney, Lawrence Looney.
He's got a lot to blame for, isn't he, really?
He is, but what a legend.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I called it last week, didn't I?
You did?
I did. I heard that, and I was like, how did he know? Ronaldo was busy, but...
Lawrence Looney was. All right, so, you spent all your 13 years, have all been with Douglas and District. This is why we referred to you as the testimonial man at the start. You know, you've done 13 years there.
Mm.
Most people have, get a glamour friendly, I think when Wayne Rooney played, obviously Everton played United, didn't they?
Yeah.
Who did Steven Gerrard have for his?
Olympiacos.
Of course.
I was there for that game.
And traditionally, the gate receipts then go to the
charity.
Well, to charity now, but to, it used to be to the player, player. So, to pay for their pension. So, your testimonial was on Sunday at the bowl. How many? What was the gate receipt?
We were paid £5 to play. Oh,
there you go.
That's, cheers, Dave.
Thanks, football. But in a very testimonial way, it finished 4-4, didn't it? You scoring. You had a hat-trick?
Hat-trick, yeah.
Talk to us about the match then. We've all seen Hattie's highlights, but it, you know, what was it like to be in the thick of that?
First of all, like, picking the squad was the hardest thing. The club, I told them like 3 weeks ago that I was leaving, all simultaneously, so no one found out before. And then within 2 hours, Dave was like, well, I've got a testimonial sorted out. This is a date. And I was like, what? It's incredible.
So Dave would have been planning it in the background for a long time.
I'm just waiting for someone to leave.
I get the impression that Dave would be a bit like, you know, when ITN always have an obituary queued up. It's been written for months. So he obviously, you know, he's probably got a file. So there's Lawrence, you, maybe Tony Stewart, a couple of the, and he pulls it out at the filing cabinet. Oh, right, Lawrence, Richard, Brian, this will be the squads. This will be... the kits we'll be wearing, you know, it'll be like
that. I think you're right though. I like the old ITN victory that we did. He sent a list of, here's all the players that you play with. Literally, the list was like 80 something long.
And you're like, who's he? I don't remember who to play with.
So it's hard to whittle down to a squad of 15. Mm. Dave made it. He made the cut.
Did his knee?
Played 45.
Well, fair play.
Yeah. I reckon
this could be the comeback.
I have to say, I did speak to Dave earlier this week, but there was also a great shot of Hattie's of Dave making a cracking tackle. And he says he won the ball, but they're 2 feet off the ground, so who knows?
So what's funny, the ball was never in photo.
No idea. He's out of the
He actually played really well. Like, pace has never been his thing anyway, but Stephen Wilson helped him out around about there.
But he reminds me a bit, do you remember Richard Gough signed for Everton? And he was 39, I think, at the time, 38. And he always said
his peak.
Had the yard in his head. And that's where Dave Matheson comes in. He has that extra 3 yards in his head, doesn't he?
It's
pasty, usually. Yards are pasty. But yeah, he had that in his head, right? So it's 4-4. You scored a hat-trick.
Yeah.
You were telling me about the dubious penalty. I believe...
Dele Alli-esque? I'd say so.
Yeah, what you thought about it? Dele Alli.
Go on then, go on.
Yeah, they mean the dive, right?
Yeah, yeah, the dive.
I thought you were talking about is the video this week. Where are you going, Dave?
The penalty. So yeah, minute or two to go, we get a free kick, in a good position, gets whipped in. I just said, ref, who was Kevin Maitland, who kindly did it out of the good of his heart and a coffee yesterday. I just pulled my own shirt and he gave a pen. Well, I think he would have given a pen anyway.
Yeah.
So then the lads going, yeah, Richie, go and grab a hat-trick.
I believe you even told the keeper where you're going to put it.
Told him where I was going, just so like he didn't try and save it.
Young Darren, yeah.
Still trying to save it. I thought I was going to do a Penenka. I've never done it in my life, so...
Yeah, you wouldn't want it with the pressure on to put a Panenka in the last minute. No.
But just to touch on, Rick Delaney went mental. He's our first team manager. Went mental of the award of the penalty.
But he did score a good goal himself, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, did, to be fair. Well, he looks like he's going through just as he's about to shoot, and he looks like he's either stopped. Kev Doyle said he looked like he's about to have a heart attack, and then had a shot, which was quite interesting. But like, poster stamp was brilliant.
I believe the Polish call it a stutter, don't they?
They do.
When they,
technical term, yeah.
Technical term.
There was no technical ability in that whatsoever. Well.
We'll talk about the other two goals. Were they fairly straightforward? Or?
Yeah, just a corner, 2 minutes before half time, actually, we were 2-0 down, so it was quite a key goal, and, you know. And Matheson gets his big square head on it and just falls to the. Just inside the box, I just whacked it.
Box in the box.
Box in the box. Young Franny Jeffers. And what about the second?
Just Cleggy played really well, actually. I took Cleggy in the 11, obviously, because I just wanted to try and win. beat a few men, shot Darren Standard, didn't hold on to it, so I just volleyed it in.
He's just mopping up.
He's just there, you know, he reads the game.
Yeah.
I had 4 chances, 3 goals.
By that's well, those stats. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, you can't.
The other one was Darren's long... Well, not long. Goal kick. Went to the halfway. He was out of his area. I just whacked it first time on the volley. Nearly broke my foot. Went out to the front. So
there you go.
But yeah, you know, you've obviously you've done about, we were talking about this last week, you've done every job, hasn't you, Dave? At the D&D changing room.
Are you honorary president yet?
Not yet. Wife member?
No.
No. We'll have to start a petition, yeah.
Dave wants to keep the life memberships to himself.
Well, there was a piece in the Independent, that's the Hattie this week, and he listed some of your roles. Captain, first team manager, junior coach, Cowl Cup manager, combi manager.
Well, there was various others.
There's
a couple of others, yeah. We don't need to touch on
those. Do you not have many other interests or time?
When I first joined, there's a lot more people at the club now. It was probably in like transition, so there's a few youngsters there. Boys had been there 10 years since the beginning of the club, so it was just trying to help out as I went, really.
Mm.
But I'd do anything for the club, if you know what I mean. That sounds a bit like emotional.
But
I love the club and the people that surround it. So
that's be more people like Richard Mike football. Yeah. I think would make
it was a lot though. Probably.
Yeah. I think you for someone to be 13 years is quite unusual.
Well, you say you'd do anything. Would you get a tattoo of Dave Matson's face somewhere on you?
No.
So you what about the club crest?
Yeah, I'd do a little sign like that.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
D&D for life.
When you go to Reading, people think you're some sort of gangbanger, you know, D&D for life. They'll be like, what's this crew that roam the streets of Groves Road, you know. So which have you enjoyed the most? Which role did you enjoy being in the managerial hot seat?
I loved it, yeah. I think I was like 22 when I did it, first year manager. And it literally was because no one else was able to do it, so... And I still was one of the oldest players playing.
Yeah.
At 34 Folders. So it was difficult though to try and you know, that age, people who are a little bit older than you, like, oh, what's this guy talking about? So,
yeah.
But I really, really enjoyed it. And the other probably would be like the whole junior setup.
Mm.
Not taking credit at all, because Andrew Gosnell and Chris Bowers and Matheson and Sparks and people like that since have done brilliant on that. But yeah, those two are definitely satisfying.
The Cowl Cup team must be nice as well, because the club, you know, was the first ever Cowl Cup team the club had, and it's a field team made up of under 18s or under 19s or whatever it was at that time, must have been a tremendous proud achievement for everyone at the club, not just yourself.
Yeah, I think we had a lot of lads that left Corinthians,
yeah,
who wasn't getting the game time that they'd like, or I don't know really, but they came and Davis was like, yes, get a Cowl Cup team. Yeah. And so me and Gozzy did it together. And I think we got a draw against Ronald's Way and then lost every other game.
Right.
But it was the whole point of having a team. And then 2 years later, I think we had another team.
Yeah.
So and probably 75% of these boys are still there now. So which is brilliant.
So you say obviously it was a bit of a transitional period when you first got there. But would you say the club's in a better position now?
Massively, yeah. Ironically, never finished higher than 10th in my 13 years, but off the pitch is fantastic. I think, and I'm not doing anyone a disservice, but like, I think Rick's the best manager since I've been there.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I only had 3 or 4 games with Rick, but I think him and along with Sparks, who's coaching, I don't know, I just, when I played, he'd given lots of tactical advice and stuff like that, whereas people like Carl Bass would be more like football manager, and he'd be right up your street. I love the guy's pieces, yeah. But like, and he'd get the best out of you. And Lawrence Looney was similar, like man management, but Rick's like your tactical and man management, and he's laid back and just got it. I got like injured 3 or 4 games into the rain, really. But with him, going back to your original question, Dave, like I can see now things on the pitch are improving as well.
Mm.
Off the pitch, it's as good as it's ever been with the hard work of Dave. He's going to get royalties for the amount of times I mentioned his name. But yeah, hard work of Dave. People like Sean Britton being there years. Enzo, the chairman. I'm probably missed loads of people out, but yeah.
And the juniors, you know, I see when I put the junior results in the paper, there's an under-9s team now, and they seem to be, I think they won 6-0 the weekend or something.
At least so, yeah. It's not back to score, though, that, yeah. Is, honestly, Andy, but yeah.
Always on point. Always on message, Mr. Brandt. But, that's so great, you know, if you can keep them together, you know, that's going to be the...
Exactly, that's the future.
Yeah,
yeah. And hopefully in 10 years time or 8 years time, whatever it works out to be, they can support the first team combination teams and ideally play in the Premier League. That's what, believe it or not, like people might think
Douglas and District, happy just finishing 10th and stuff. Mm. But every time I played, I went to win, and we wanted to always try the amazing thing of trying to get promoted.
Mm. So for the last couple of seasons, people other than the Douglas and District legends, people might know you as the FA's Football Services Officer.
Yeah.
So what does that entail for the layman? Obviously, you have to deal with idiots like me and Dave on a quite semi-regular basis.
Yeah.
But what else do you have to do?
It's more like a very varied role.
Mm.
It's one thing to the next, which is really good, to be fair. So that's what I enjoy about it. I'm sure it's the same with
you
guys reporting on stuff. Things will happen, and you just got to be proactive and change what you're doing. But like acting like a relationship manager with clubs, so you're always on a point of contact for any queries they might have. Deal with finance, discipline, marketing, communications, coach education. It's very rare. There's loads of things I missed. Island rep.
Well, that's just it. I was going to say, obviously the Ironman FA senior team are away next weekend, and that's the sort of stuff that you've had to do in the past, isn't it? You have to arrange the accommodation, the flights, the coaches, make sure the kit gets there and stuff like that, isn't it?
Which is always like a kind of thing, because big game, and you don't want to like after squad to miss the flight because you didn't book them on it and stuff. So
Well, obviously this one's been difficult as well, because the previous round match was delayed for the opposition, wasn't it? So you only really found out like a week and a half ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was due to the weather, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
I put the north. I think they played home last time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy time, and I think it does fall within half term as well. So
yeah.
It's like, I think we booked out a flight to Manchester after. You're going, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going next week. We're going to be doing the podcast. Lovely, lovely plug. Podcast almost live from Middlesbrough next week. So that will be.
Is that what it's called, really?
Almost live from Middlesbrough.
I actually love it.
It's going to be very exciting, that one. And make sure you're listening for that one.
Probably not suitable for kids. It'll be a lot of swearing.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to take it down that route, to be honest, Dave. But, you know, I could see where it would go if you went. But
well, yeah. I just don't
in the hotel bar.
On the coach on the way back.
Is that the idea? Like, as and when? Do you want just going to try and get on it, or are you?
Oh, I'm not going to try and get. What do you mean, on the booze?
No. On the podcast.
Like, what are we going to do? Well, I'm waiting. Mr. Jones is kindly going to give me an itinerary, and I'm going to see what we might do it on the coach, because I've got them a captive audience for a couple of hours then.
Mm.
Or I might do it when we get to Middlesbrough, depending on timings, you know. But yeah, there'll be a very Middlesbrough flavour to it, shall we say. And then hopefully, if I can get my backside in gear, it'll be up that night and people can have the almost live reaction from ahead of the game. So
yeah, it's going to be trying to do on a Saturday night, yeah?
Yeah, Saturday night next week, yeah. So there'll be no podcast till Saturday night next week. Plus, it's hard terms, and we're both off for various...
Well, it's your birthday this time next week, isn't it? So
next Thursday, yeah.
How old?
Nearly as old as you, Rich, yeah. Actually, I'm older than you, actually, 34.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Good, mate. Good.
You're the only person that said that. I saw someone that I hadn't seen for a while the other day, and went, God, you've gone grey.
Nice.
Cheers, mate.
You know, so when as soon as you hit 30, that's like grey just overtakes.
You've got to embrace it, though.
I just go short on the sides.
Yeah. So when people go just for men, they look worse, don't they? Oh yeah, massively. Because then you have to try and match the tone of your beard, and it's just
it gets messy, faff.
Yeah, it gets very Lionel. You'd be in the bathroom.
Serious stuff, this, isn't
filling,
it?
Filling gaps and... Oh, it's just a nightmare. Just a nightmare. But we digress, don't we? So, what have you enjoyed about the football services role the most?
The variety, I would say.
Have you had any weird requests from teams? Because obviously, when teams come across, do you have to deal with their accommodation and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Any divas? Like any... Really ridiculous moments.
Now, Rich is now thinking, I might want to continue my career in football in the future, so...
there's certainly one there, like, troublemakers or anything like that, but I would say there would be more... just trying to think, because Leeds have been over in my time, Everton.
Yeah.
Everton were great. It's like, normally we have to, like, what do you want for your post-match meal?
Yeah.
And it's like, pasta and that.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, Domino's pizzas. And we were like, hey, it was wonderful. Happy days.
I've got this vision now of Everton's precocious young talent lined up outside. You know, Big Dave giving her five. Littlesworth giving him a tenner each. Go on, lads. Fill your boots. It's not a Tuesday, so you're not going to get one each. Buy one, get one free. You know?
Mason Holgate was there, obviously.
He was, yeah. There was a couple of the lads that have...
Yeah, every time I see Everton now, I was like, is that centre mid he played?
Benny.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Benassi, but that's a... Benny... Benny...
Giumani or something like that. He's from...
Unsworth played him when he was in charge, wasn't
he? Yeah, yeah, he played a couple of games in the Cup. I think there was a couple of others as well. He brought a fairly... Hennon played, didn't he, David? Belgium under 21.
A legendary striker.
Yeah, I remember. And John Joe Kenny, I think, was in the original squad, but pulled out, I think.
He's a good player. Yeah, he's a good player. So you've enjoyed the variety and the different challenges every
people
day.
People as well. Meeting so many different people and all volunteers. I think that's what when you get a job, and you in a public role as well. Don't forget, but you appreciate how much that these volunteers put in I miss loads of people out by saying it. But someone like Tony Metman, who doesn't get paid a penny, so much time in, and there's loads of everyone at other clubs as well. It's brilliant. I'd say that's like the most enjoyed, speaking to different people about different things. And
so can you just dispel one of the myths about the job, that in the summer when you're a bit quiet because there's not much football going on, that you and Lewis just go and play Wembley on the bowl? That's
I can dismiss that. Really, that's my busiest time. The close season, because you're sanctioning in competitions, you're affiliating clubs, you're registering players, transfers. That's actually the busiest, probably.
There you go. Myth busted.
There you go. Killing the dream. Because you've had so many people that have applied for the job, haven't you?
There's 40, 43 of them.
I believe so,
And half of them will have been doing it just
because they thought they're going to be playing Wembley.
It happens every Friday, 1 till 2. I don't miss it.
Right, we've had an absolute shed load of Twitter questions, haven't we, Dave?
Certainly have, as always. We'll start off with... one of our Twitter favourites, Agent Rashid.
Just all round favourite, I think. He's just doing, we confine it to social media.
Just a legend. Yeah. Really, all round legend. First off, how's the mug?
I'm actually drinking from it as we speak, Agent Rashid, and it's lovely. Just turn it round, honestly. The Ireland's leading football agent. Top boy.
There you go. So he wants to know, will you be keeping tuned into all the latest Agent Rashid news and breaking stories after moving away?
Well, I'll be subscribing to the podcast.
Well, obviously you do it already, I'm sure.
No, I'm going to do it again. I'll unsubscribe, then subscribe again. And you can do that on iTunes, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Massively on iTunes. Nice plug.
Yeah, but I'll be keeping over everything, yeah.
Do you follow the Agent Rashid Facebook page?
I don't know.
I think that's what he's angling for. Yeah. He's angling for more likes on Facebook.
It's good.
Like that, yeah.
It's a good site.
All right, keep on.
It's not for the faint-hearted. But it's
No. Not for the faint-hearted, indeed. That was a nice way to put it, Dave. I'm sure you'll appreciate that. Luke Callister, is he teammate now back at Maloof, isn't he, I think?
Turtle, yeah, back at Maloof.
Are you going to carry on playing when you move away?
How could I play for anyone else other than D&D?
You peaked.
Just because of the injury, really.
What is the... Have you
still having treatment. Still supposed to see a specialist the other week, but they cancelled the appointment, so I'll start again, basically, when I'm back over there. But ligament stuff. Obviously, I've still got it, though, banging in the hat.
You said when you walked in though that you're still feeling the pain.
Yeah, I'm still feeling it, massively. But I'll probably do like recreational stuff, like
walking
five sides and stuff like that, probably midweek and things like that, definitely. I'm not going to stop playing it, but yeah, competitively, yeah.
Yeah, and then of course D&D go on tour most years, don't they? So I'm sure
you've already spoken about
he'd be flying in for them.
He wasn't very happy about flying to Gatwick. Well, I was like, come down that way and we'll sort something out.
Yeah, that's the Badeski Stadium.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm sure you could probably hire that for us in the bowls, really.
Right, Scott McGregor asking, do you think that the best D&D 11 from your time at the club would get promotion to Division 1?
Well, the kind of life Premier League is now.
Oh, yeah, Scotty, slacking there, isn't he? Like what now? I don't know. What do you mean? Just do it now.
The best team that you've played with. Well, we're going to go on to that in a bit later. Question. Do you think they would have got promotion?
Yeah. All right. Okay. Does he want to just say yes or no? Do you want me to elaborate a little?
Well, you can elaborate. Yeah.
I'll do a little elaboration. If
elaborate and listen.
Is that a word? What I just said, by the way. Are you doing Vanilla Ice?
Yeah.
Have you been watching too many of those Muller Ice episodes?
Well, yeah, D&D vs 11, would they get promoted to Premier League? With the right manager and everyone was there week in, week out, they'd have a good chance. Okay. I think so.
Paul Henry?
Yeah. Champions League places, definitely.
Top four.
He also asked, do you feel guilty at scoring a hat-trick against him? Now, you have to tell me the story of that, because he was on your team on Sunday, wasn't he?
Yeah, so back in... we played from, like, 2008 to, like, 2012, 13, something like that. And then he left because he'd go to Liverpool games pretty much every other week. So then, but he then rejoined the Onken just to help him out. This was, like, 2015, I think. And... we were playing in the league game. That's when they were playing the kids, and they were at the lower end of the league to what they are now. And he played in goal. And I tweeted him that day. I was like, oh, I fancy two party today. Anyway, scored a hat-trick. They were we drew 4-4, actually, believe it or not. Yeah, that was the story, really, Andy. no, I don't feel good. He was my best man at the wedding, best mate. It was just, he even helped me out with a goal. He came out to kick it, and kicked against my back, so I just had a tap in.
Was there a bit of banter going on? Well, this was all going on.
And when I scored, I think I scored my hat trick, I patted him on the head, because we were still 4-3 down, and I was like, it's all right, mate, don't worry, kind of thing. And then he fell over for the fourth goal for Paul Gavin to grab the equaliser.
So are we saying that this is why he no longer plays football? That
was his last game until Sunday.
Was it?
And he played in a 4-4 again. Yeah. So if you want a 4-4,
go and watch Scott, yeah. Goals galore.
Right, the next, he's mentioned so many times already today, but Dave Matheson.
Former podcast guest.
Yeah.
Regular listener.
Yeah. So he's actually tagged the man himself in this. But former Reading FC striker Kevin Doyle, or D&D midfielder Doyle.
Kevin Doyle. An angler extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm. Same name, but that's where the similarities end, I think. Two completely two different players. Never had the opportunity to play with Kevin Doyle, the ex-Reading striker. I got to stick to my boy Kevin Doyle, Dorsey Doyle, Doyler, whatever you want to call him, D&D Doyle.
Yeah, he pulls the strings in midfield, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed playing with Kev. He won't mind me saying this, like, great player. Mm. If he got fit when he was a little bit younger, he could play at really like a good level and for a good standard as well. He's still really, really good. But really, really enjoy playing with Kev.
Right.
Well, that was just one of many tweets from Dave.
Various guises.
Do you want to take the next one, Andy?
So he's gone emoji mad with this tweet.
Come on, man.
I must praise him for the use of emojis. We don't usually get many emojis on Twitter, do we?
Yeah.
So he's put, what is your funniest memory at the club? So then he's given you some examples.
Yeah.
Chris Bauer's temper, and that was with an angry emoji. Darren Armstrong's mistake, that was with a nice hockey goal by the look of it, I'm presuming. Yeah. Ben Abu Skelton's handbags. Right. Scoring a hat-trick pass, Scott, we've already discussed. Yeah. Carl Lace getting hit at Foxdale.
Yeah.
Mike Martin, that's just got a gun.
A gun.
Yeah. You might need to elaborate on that one.
I'll quickly elaborate on all of them, I think. Chris Bauer's temper, just his weekly red cards. red cards used to be like it was only too recently.
Yeah.
He gets sent off on a Saturday, he can still play the next game, and then he kicks in 2 weeks later. He got sent off one Saturday, then got sent off the next Saturday. But yeah, Bowers' temper is fantastic, to be fair. He also got sent off when he wasn't even playing once. He was watching the game, kicked a bin at Braddon, went everywhere, and then picked everything up.
Characters like that, you need it.
Don't say anymore. He's injured a little, and busy and stuff, but yeah. Darren Armstrong's mistake, I'll ask Dave which one. I'm guessing by the goal, it's him putting it top bins against St John's in his own goal.
Oh, we
played outfield.
There was a tweet going around the other day. Did you see this? Was it Turkish football or something? There was
I did see it. The friend that absolutely smashes it past the keeper in the top.
Yeah, like 20 yards out, right into the post.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
This was better.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive if the goalkeeper did it himself.
Yeah.
I'm sure when Dave was here last time, he mentioned this, but St John's, the days of Andy and Steve Glover, Nick Kerr, etc., won every game, didn't they, for that year? 0-0, no, first game at Nobles Park when we moved there. 0-0, half time, we are buzzing. We're like, do this, lads, get a little 1-0. We only had 11 players, we didn't have any subs. And then we go 4-0 down pretty quickly. Scott Keeble gets sent off. And before the game, Dave said, if it's less than 10, he'll get a tattoo. That's how, like, you're going to get battered today. I think Dave was playing, I think. And is that 8-0? Darren comes across, tries to clear the ball, post a stamp, off the stanchion, blah, 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 and then they've got one right at the end to make it 10. So David still hasn't had a tattoo.
This time, yeah.
Ben Abu-Skelton, this one's about the kit. I know he definitely said it on the last pod.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the guys, we actually scored against Uni Mills the other year, and I think it was you guys, or it could have been Manx Radio, who said Nabu Shelton was his name, which was...
That was Manx Radio, yeah.
I think it was African sensation. Nabu Shelton was a good one. Scoring a hat-trick against Preston, we touched on that. Carl Lace getting hit off Oxdale. It was when... Carl Lace, those who don't know, bit of a belly on the guy. Every Saturday, he used to live the closest to Nobles Park, yet was always late, like 15 minutes before kicking, we'd turn up, fag, sunglasses, because he'd been on the bender the night before. Anyway, he was at Foxdale, was 7-0 down, and you know there was a little wall at Foxdale in the dugouts.
Yeah.
He has taken one from about 5 yards away, right in the place. literally, it was like 10 of us watching because we were all injured that day, and like we've never seen something so funny. And so that's my funniest moment memory. Mike Martin, we were doing laser blast, and he asked if the lasers were real. Still funny. Carl Lace.
That to be fair, that was a good selection.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if this is a typo, but
it's not.
Yeah. Daniel Robson. He's asked on a scale of 10 to 10, how good is Danny Scott?
Dan Robson. Can I just say, by the way, was born at 23 weeks old.
What?
Yeah, incredible, isn't it? 23 weeks. I found out 2 weeks ago. And I was like, what? He's only he's tiny, but 23 is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 10 out of 10.
Good knowledge.
Yeah. Danny Scott, yeah, top player, one of the best players I've played with. Used to play against or with Wayne Rooney, come from the same area. And Fleetwood, Bolton, he used to play for at junior level. So the boy does Cruyff turns at Nobles Park when there's just mud there. It's just different gravy, like, it's brilliant.
Steve Wilson, you the centre-back, you obviously you mentioned him, starred in your testimonial. He says, is it true that the real reason you're moving back to is to reform JLS?
I wanted to keep it a secret. This used to be... Go on, you know.
Reunions are big at the moment, aren't they? Spice Girls are coming back, apparently. There's rumours of Friends being
Shut up, is it?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But, you know, there's all sorts of stuff, yeah. So, JLS...
Yeah, I don't know what the thing is. Like him and Scott Keeble used to play the bat together. I even got a JLS annual one game. I don't know what the thing is. I think when we used to play music before the games, I think I did. I played JLS tune. I think it came.
They have some bangers, to be fair.
Like One Shot. Remember One
Shot? Yeah, yeah.
I had that before a game. I was like, listen, boys, you only got one shot. Let's make it count. You might never get this moment again, whatever the lyrics are.
Yeah.
And then it stuck with me, I think that might be why, but if I could get into JLS, I would.
It's a question I've asked Lewis before, I think, when he was in... are you in charge of the music at the bowl, you know, for big cup finals and
No, I never have that privilege.
Oh, because they have some absolute bangers on before the game sometimes. Who's in charge of the
Meps has been... Meps has had CDs made for him by people, I don't know who.
Been outsourced.
it was like a whole Ollie Murs tribute thing was on there once.
I've always hoped it was Eric. It was DJ
Eric.
Yeah,
I thought DJ
Eric
was spinning it.
Yeah. It does look a bit like, do you remember Scatman John? He looks a bit like him.
God rest his soul.
When John had the tash back in the day, when Eric had the tash, he did look a bit like
Scatman John. It's a good show, actually.
So maybe that's something.
Said no one ever. Yeah.
Well, if we get another major final, I think we could have, because he used to do a bit of talking between the. I do remember a cup final where Eric pretty much DJ'd.
He did
because he was like, "Welcome along the bowl. It's 13 degrees outside. You know, now some
drop the bomb.
Tina Turner." do you know, I'm imagining that. The team,
yeah.
But I thought he'd put in a bit of
just dropping sick beats.
Put some sick beats, and he may have give us a wave on the far side, you know. All that
really?
Yeah, hands up if you're from Ramsey, you know, all that sort of stuff, you know.
Click available for the season parties.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as you guys know, he's a clever guy. He's very
legend.
Yeah,
and I think this would be, you know, he could maybe put in the odd quiz question.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know what he's like.
Yeah. No, there's something I think we can put forward to the FA Council.
It's first on that list, though.
Yeah.
Right, next question.
Go on, yeah, so
Tony Sewell, obviously Jim's manager, he's asked, what's been your favourite away venue to play at and why?
I would say Moraine. I like playing at Moraine.
Is this for the monkey brains afterwards?
Duke, good pasty at Moraine, to be fair. Duke, how amazing.
More just like, played well there, we did. We've had some hammerings there. We beat them 6-2 there years ago. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's just the whole location of it. It's nice. Jerby. I remember going there first time, and everyone's like, oh, I've got to see your passport, some of that stuff. And I was like, what? And then over time, it's like, God, it is far. And what I love about Jerby is just how open and flat it is. Like,
desolate.
Strange. But I would say top is Onken.
Onken?
The stadium. Just Spurgeon home of soccer.
We always had close games there, and I scored a few goals there as well and stuff. I don't know, it's just that maybe it's the whole surroundings.
Yeah.
Should I go to the Maxi afterwards, is it?
I'm an athlete, Dave.
Bringing the biscuits.
Right, Hattie has been on. He says, what's your most memorable goal and match during your time at D&D?
So I'd split them. That doesn't occur in the same match, but most memorable goal would be, I think 2007, I think it was. We were like more than 9 months, or even longer probably than us. And we're playing against Police down at Groves Road on our old pitch. And then the weather was awful. It was like, I think it was December. It's 2-2. It's probably 20 minutes left in the game. And I was on the halfway line. I was caked in mud. And I was like, I'm just going to whack this. On the halfway line, just toeed it. And it like got caught in the wind and literally went right in the middle of the goal. The goalie was way out. And then was like, oh my God, what a shot. I was like, I know, yeah. Like, that's probably the most memorable goal. And we actually went on to win that game 4-2. And then that was like our first win for a long time. Match would be...
Dave, I haven't, because I thought this was quite a similar question, but there was a question from D&D, I presume, Dave, saying that you beat them top flight opposition to get into the cup a couple of years ago, wasn't it? And he said, that, you know, would that be one of your most memorable matches, as it were?
So, just, I think, yeah, I'll do matches and moments is different.
Mm.
So my favourite match would be, this is ironic, like, but Paul Rose, like 06, 07, so I banged in the hat trick. As you do, and all of a sudden it rains, snows, wind, 70 something minutes, game gets abandoned. I'm like, what? My first hatch of a D&D didn't count. Gets replayed like 4 months later, I lost 7-0. But Ramsey, you said that in the FA Cup when they were in the top division and we were the lower regions, beating in 2015, I think. 2-2 after extra, 1-1, 2-2 after extra time, beating on penalties. That was probably my favourite match for D&D.
Hattie also asked, who's the best player you've played with and against?
Let's go with against first. So, I'll probably pick someone who's been there like pretty much every year. Like Barry English is a great player for me, whereas Craig Cowan, these boys have been there just as long, if not longer than I have.
Doyens of the Division 2.
Well, you get them when you play them every season, like, those boys have probably got better.
Mm.
They're really good. Snapper as well, Moraine. Always good battles against him. I'm going to say someone outrageous.
That's what we like.
Someone people no one even, like, would think of, but like, he's played for Ronald's Way. Simon Lee, who's actually now at D&D.
Oh, yeah.
Top player. Because we were always very close, games were very close. We always used to have, and he was always playing centre mid against me. He was like, it was just really intense battles, and he always just seems to get a better hand on me over me, and he'd be it. And I only played a couple of games with him because I got injured and he got injured and stuff.
But what about played with
Danny Scott? Like, he's just, I played with some good ones like Makalaga back in the day, he's good, Keeble, Rob Jones, but Danny Scott is he's just so laid back. You know, when someone makes it look easy, you know how good they are if they even just. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't try, but he just makes it look so easy, football. And I think the young lads at D&D now can learn a lot off him.
Yeah. I must admit, he's always stood out when I've watched you guys. He, as you say, it's that the good players are the ones that seem to have longer on the ball. Yeah. And he always seems to have
longer than anyone else.
Yeah. Just from literally when we played gyms every week, the pitch was horrendous, by the way. Horrendous. And second half, right, 10-15 minutes left, gives ball the right hand side and trapped, it does a Cruyff trap and turn all in one movement, and like he's still on his feet and he's wearing Maldives. I'm like, this guy is just incredible.
Yeah.
So going back to Dan Robson's 10 out of 10.
Well, it ties in nicely this with the next question from the D&D official Twitter account.
Yeah.
What is your all time 1-11 from your time at the club?
Yeah, so obviously I saw this yesterday, so I did a bit of homework on it.
Good work.
Like all good football service officers.
Yeah, absolutely. So in goal, it's either against Scott McGregor against Andy Corsi.
Mm.
And unfortunately, Scott, it goes with Andy Corsi. Just for his first couple of years, he was just tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he played Masters for the Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
A few years ago, he's left the Ireland, so if he's listening, hello, Andy. Back four, Bowers, Keeble, Dave Bradford, and Hadji.
Hadji, oh, legend. The legend.
The legend, yeah. Not the Romanian.
The Onken.
That's a good
show as well. The Onken one, not the Romanian one.
People miss out there, obviously. Wilson misses out, just. But good, that'd be a good solid back for that. And can tackle, can play out the back, and a bit of pace. Just going for a 4-4-2 here, lads, by the way. I'm not going to muck about.
Solid.
For Clegg on the right. Love him playing on the right-hand side. He plays up top now, but I think he can score even more goals from the right.
Right. On D's left.
Yeah, he's playing really well, man.
Yeah. Gozzi on the left.
Oh.
Just for his change room banter, really. Like. good player. And Rob Jones and Danny Scott in the centre.
Good midfield as well.
And I had up top Jimmy Macalaga and Lawrence Looney. Lawrence scored like 26 goals in my first season. Yeah.
And Jim scored a lot of goals as well.
Yeah, Jim, you've always got like 15 every year.
No you, room for Conrad Kumar?
No.
I never really played for Conrad, you know. He's always been in the combi.
Oh. That's an oversight. What about Kostas Lazarov?
You are.
Kostas?
Kostas Dean Lazarov.
Yeah.
Kostas.
Yeah.
yeah. Absolute unit.
Absolutely. Him and Conrad.
We have two of those.
Yeah. There can't be many combination two defences of like going up against them two.
Imagine just going like, you play to, oh, go on, I play to there, and then cost there. Yeah, you're in for a trouble. Yeah, but no, I've made honourable mentions, Trigger McDade, Dave McDade, good player. Jay Corrin, still playing.
Yeah.
Old boys. Love playing with Jay, like, just couldn't really fit them in.
Yeah, that's a selection dilemma many a manager has to face, and I'm sure the ones you've gone through in your managerial career.
Many times.
Yeah. I think this is a cracking question, this.
Yeah,
one of the best ones we've had this season, I think.
Big Rob.
From Big Rob, a former D&D alumni. I think he signed on at Alexi at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, coaching him, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, helping out Paul Callow down.
Big Rob, must say, is my stepson Hugo is a massive fan of Rob and his MSR with his coaching.
Mm. Mm. Great coach. Yeah.
Great coach. He says, Rob, if you could have played for any other club on the island, who would it be and why?
That's such a tough question.
It's a really good question. Better than anything we've come up with.
Well, yeah. Doesn't take much, then.
Because through the years, like, people are saying, like, why don't you come play for this team, that team, like, but I've never ever been to another training session, so it's just quite a difficult one to answer. But I like to win things.
Right. And there's one club that wins a lot of things.
But I would never, ever, ever get anywhere near the team, but I'd like to see how it works.
Yeah.
And why they're so successful. So St. George's, why they're so successful, why, and how, yeah, that'd be really interesting to see, like, the difference.
Yeah.
In bottom of Div 2 to top of Premier League for so long.
Good answer.
It is. You said D&D won't win anything.
No, not in my time, obviously.
Well, you know, we get this honorary lifetime membership pushed through. You know, you can still be involved by not being involved. You know?
Absolutely.
Right, let's have a look at Saturday's games or the big games on Saturday. It's another. We used coined the word last week. Smorgasbord of fixtures, isn't it? There's cup action. There's Woods Cup, FA Cup, Woods Cup, Premier League Division 2, Combi 1, Combi 2. There's the whole array.
Although tonight's Masters League is not on.
It's been postponed around. Can't field the team. We also have another breaking postponement from Brandy. Yeah.
St. John's Combi off against Braddon.
Right. Who's in the office tomorrow?
Amy.
Amy? Oh, she's good. She keeps the social media nicely ticking over. It's nice.
Always worth a retweet and a follow at iomfa.com, isn't it?
Oh, no, man.
FA.
Don't forget that, thanks for putting your blog as well. For all your latest news.
We didn't want to say it.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. Rich is probably the one that's given us the most retweets.
Easily.
Yeah. So the two remaining first round ties in the French Provident FA Cup take place tomorrow. Hopefully, Dave. Fingers crossed. I know from an email we've had from the fixture computer himself, Mr. Tony Merton, Corinthians Laxey, they tried to switch to the bowl at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, but Laxey couldn't field the team at that time. So it's at the moment it's still on the tremendous 1:45 kickoff at Bella Fletcher, Corinthians Laxey. Dave, home win for me this one.
Yes, as we've already spoken about this last week, didn't we? But the Whites will definitely go into it as favourite.
Laxey. I haven't had a game for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They haven't played this year, this calendar year.
That'll make a difference, won't it, I think?
Yeah.
But Paul and Rob Mack, they'll have something in their mind, like the time to prevent Griffin. So I reckon it might be quite close one.
Well, I watched the league fixture at Glen Road, and it was 1-0 to Corinthians. I think they scored 75th minute, deflected goal past Baller, who'd had a very good game that day.
Danny Gerrard goal, I believe.
Yes. Obviously, they haven't played since then. The corresponding league fixture was postponed in December. Laxey, though, it's a hard. I was speaking to George Burrows last week, beating him at snooker, if he's listening. And he was saying, oh, yeah, he did win in the second game, so I suppose it's 1-0.
Forget about that.
He was saying it's been tough, 6 weeks without a game. The boys are itching to play, but it's going to take them 20 minutes to remember who's who, isn't it?
Sure, do. Like, when you don't play for a while, it does take a little bit of time, but it might work the other way. It could work that they're on it from minute one. So
Preparing to go.
Fitness might be an issue, but.
So what you say, Davey? Corinthians win? Or?
Yeah, I'll stick with the home win, but I think Laxey will give them a good run for the money. I think.
Rich,
I'm going for Corinthians win it in extra time.
Oh,
throw that little spanner.
Well, Hattie will be there, providing it with the full multimedia treatment. So he might have to, because we always say it's incredibly exposed up there. So I think it'll be multi layers.
It's going to be a windy day tomorrow.
Windy day. You tell me he's bought some wellies because he saw me wearing some the other week. So
you are a trendsetter, mate.
Wellies and joggers. Is
yeah,
the way
he
forward.
Doesn't wear wellies, does he?
He's got some now.
It's a bit of an own goal, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, you need thermal socks to back it up, though, because there's not the old £10 Dunlops don't provide much insulation.
I think he needed the old thermal socks the other night down at St John's, didn't he?
Oh, yes, there's a tweet. Yeah. He was saying that he was worrying that he might actually get hypothermia, but he struggled on, didn't he? But clearly that one didn't go to extra time. Cause I think, no.
Half-time cup of tea in Mars Bar, wasn't it?
Yeah, I saw that. And he looked like he had a shortbread as well.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, he might correct me on that. There'll be a tweet, probably.
But
I'm pretty sure there's a Mars Bar, a cup of tea, and a shortbread.
You know you've got them started having a refreshment watch. Like, this is it every week now. It's going to happen.
The other remaining FA Cup tie takes place at Ballyclone again. 1:45 kickoff. Just for you, need to know. Ramsey versus Braddon, two of the strugglers in the Premier League this season. I said this week, last week, it could be a welcome distraction for both.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Braddon go into it on the back of that win against Foxdale in the cup the previous round. So, you know, that win does wonders for the confidence. Home advantage, though, for Ramsey.
Only one win this season, Rich. It's not looking good for Ramsey at the moment, is it? Or Lewis, in particular.
No, it's not. I have to remind him every day at work. They're going to struggle this season if they want to try and stay up. But in terms of the game, it's a free game, isn't it, for both teams? So.
But we talked to Gary about it last week, and we said a good result in this could be the catalyst that picks up the league one.
No pressure in this game. If they win, they get through to the quarters, is it?
Yeah.
So.
Lewis hinted last week at the FA sponsorship launch that he might be playing up front. So
I said to
Stephen Corker. It's easy to sign for Dundee.
Turned down Celtic a while ago for that.
Serious? Yeah. Only 2 years ago he was at Liverpool. That's strange deal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Strange.
What was that? Yeah, Lewis up top. I'd play him in an advanced role.
Yeah. Just to keep him away from his own goal.
Yeah. The boy can actually finish, to be fair. So, but then
it's all that practice playing Wembley.
Yeah.
8 years of practice. I could just see Braddon with Glover back in scoring form as well. Yeah. Joe Andrews at the back. I don't know. I just see.
It's hard to argue with Rich for that one. To be fair, I think Brighton, they played well. I know you said it wasn't the most intense of games when they played Boxdale in the Cup, but a win's a win. That'll get them their heads back up. Maybe after it's been a tough winter for them more than anyone, really.
It has. We talk a lot about momentum last week, don't we? But they had that really good start to the season. It just fizzed out pretty quickly. Mm. So you know, a win here, catalyst for the rest of the season. They might just get a good little run to go.
There's, of course, the addition to the FA Friends Provident FA Cup. There is other knockout action on Saturday. There's three ties in the GH Call at Woods Cup preliminary round to be played. Game of the day in that, I would say, is Moran versus Onchan. I think this is the third time they're trying to play this game.
Well, it's second in the Cup, I think, but it's third week in a row for them. So we're due to meet in the league as well. Yeah.
Groundhog Day, not a beaver.
Not a beaver. Yeah, as we revealed exclusively last week.
That made me laugh last week.
Moran Onchan. This could be an interesting game. There's two of the form sides in the division. I've seen Moran go into it on the back of that big win over Pulley, but again, they haven't played since then. So that momentum, it's not there, is it? So it's going to be tough. Could go either way. Might even go the distance, this one.
Yeah, obviously you've come across these two teams, Rich.
I've watched them this year, yeah.
Who would you... favouring this one?
Onchan don't concede many goals.
Rob Slinger, good goalkeeper, former St George's goalkeeper.
Andy Aspidge at the back and others as well. I just see Onchan just being a bit too strong, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But Moran, they're coming into a bit of form as well.
Yeah. Moran have got a young squad.
It's tough that, actually. Yeah. It's a good gamer.
I think that'll go to extra time if it is on, because obviously Moran's pitch is one of the more susceptible to the rising waters around us. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm feeling good at one.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Elsewhere, there's a tasty looking tie up at Gary Moore. Eric Bagatzi will be delighted. Union Mills versus Rykob.
At this point, could we just put in last week's bit of the podcast where we did the previews for these games? Because we're just going to say the same thing.
I can't keep it fresh. I've forgotten what I said last week.
Yeah, I can't remember what I said 5 minutes ago. So. Good game on the cards here. Bit of a twist at this one. Obviously, Yuffie had that bad patch early in the season, and that was sparked by a defeat to Union Mills. So they'll be out for revenge in this. They've got the better form. They're back fighting for the top four and promotion now. So all eyes will be on Youthy to carry on with their boys.
Eric said that it was quite an encouraging performance from Youthy against Peel. Although it was 5-0, they were in the game for an hour after conceding quite an early goal. So it's, you know, the performance was encouraging if the result wasn't.
Special mention for Dan Callow.
Dan Callow made it into the special FA Cup team of the week in today's Manx Independent, or this week's as it were. This will be a tough ask for Youthy, really. You know, Mills are one of those teams that seem to be able to turn it up on the day.
In the Cups, especially in the years gone by. I just think, I don't know if it's Dec Cummins still there. Those boys that are playing there are different quality. So
Harry Weatherall, Johnny Lund, we've talked about it. They've got four or five players with their Premier League experience.
I saw them earlier on in the season. I thought they were going to win the league.
Mm. Yeah, everyone did, I think. Yeah.
So I'll probably back them tomorrow. Maybe they'll if they don't get promoted or win the league and such, they'll probably be surprised if they get a cup. So
yeah. One thing that could be a leveler is the weather tomorrow. I mean, we know it's always windy up there, but I think it's going to be gale force winds tomorrow.
Keep that day for
Dave reads the weather. We don't want to be pinching your punchline.
Mate, there is no punchline this week.
So who are we going then, lads? Union Mills, Rykob. I'm going to err on the side of Rykob, but it's going to be close for me.
Yeah, I think Youthy will get through this one.
I'm going to go Rams Youth Centre. Wrapping up in the first half, I can see it being like a 5-6-0. Sorry, you didn't kill me.
There you go, we heard it here first. Final game in the prelim round of the Woods Cup to be played tomorrow. Again at 1:45. I must stress that it's 1:45.
Very important.
Strange time that, by the way. Sorry to interrupt. Because I played the other week and I was only sub and stuff, but like it's hard. What time do I do that? Like that 45 just throws you.
Well, we said about it last week. It should be half past. It should be on the half or the full hour.
I'll speak to Mets.
We'll get that. We'll get that sorted for next season. Malou versus Paul Rose. Dave, you've been to see the league fixture in the
yes, that was quite vain early in the year. Malou won that one. Pulley won that one. With the likes of Steve Glover.
Malou self-destructed a bit though.
The first half was where they lost it because it was, I think it was 3-1 at half time. They did get it back in the second half and it was pretty close. But in the end, Pulley got the points. But I think it'll be a similar story. Malou are playing quite well at the moment. I saw them play against Onchan recently and they impressed. You know, Onchan are in good form. and they frustrated them, and they were only seconds away from getting a win. So if they turn up on the day, Dean Kinley's in good form, so there's no reason why they can't cause Pulley problems. Yeah. But you look at that forward line, we say it every week, but that attack that Pulley have got, it's enough to say that they could easily go on and win this competition.
Pulley lost St John's in the week in the rearranged FA Cup tie, 4-1, wasn't it, I think, in the end?
Yes.
I thought personally maybe a little bit closer than that, but that's probably a bit of a disrespect to St John's, who've been playing very well this season. Yeah. Pulley, that's two on the bounce. They've spin they've lost now. So Paul Guyver's team probably won't be used to that. They've been playing so well this season, so it'd be nice. They need to pick it up, and this is a game that I think they should do that.
They should. But Malouk could catch them on an off day as well. So.
Rich, what do you think?
I think you touched on it last week. Pulley cup team of days of old. So probably see them just edging it. Actually, Dan Malouk, you said Dean Kinley, good player. You already mentioned about Paul Rose's front line, so I can see Pulley just nicking it.
Few ex-Pulley players, of course, in the Malou team at the moment, so that always adds to the spice, doesn't it?
A little bit of spice in this one. Yeah.
Cavalife Premier League, 3 games on the card. Now, I'm going to try not to confuse you too much, dear listener, but there is one game that is a rearranged game from the first half of the season, and there's 2 games that should have been played this weekend, are down to be played this weekend. Yeah.
Yes. So the first game in question.
First game, which is we think is a rearranged game again, and that counts towards the Railway Cup qualification, is sees St Mary's play Russian United at the Bowl.
Yes, and this one, I think, if Russian get a win, it's pretty much all but certain they'll be in the
Railway Cup.
We think they'll be within touching distance of it.
That's tough to work out this year, isn't it?
It's an absolute nightmare. Thankfully, we have a man. Is the guy who sometimes we are pressing to be the DJ, the official DJ for the FA, who keeps on top of this sort of thing, and it reminds me and Dave when these sort of things are going to happen, don't
yeah.
So St Mary's rushing. St Mary's have been in good form in recent weeks. I watched them beat Ayr 7-0 at the weekend. They battled hard but tired quite quickly on the big pitch. St Mary's weren't at the best for the first 20 minutes. It probably just shows you how good a player Stephen Briesnell was. He missed about 3 or 4 good chances in the first 20 minutes, and then still scored 4 goals. You know, and each were some cracking finishes. Yeah. You know,
good
he is in very much in form at the moment. Russian, though, you know, as you say, they need to keep winning, don't they? And they're still playing catch up. They've still played 3 or 4 games less than most. Paul Jones needs a result out of this, doesn't he?
He does. I saw them play against Old Boys a few weeks back, and they did well in that one. It was a tricky game. They were below par in the first half, and they had to rely on the keeper to keep them in it, but in the second half they outplayed Old Boys and got the all important 3 points. So they'll go into it with confidence, but they'll also know that they can't underperform today tomorrow.
Rich, I think the return fixture was 5-3 to Russian, so there should be goals in this one.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Playing at the Bowl as well, I think both teams will be able to get it down and play their best stuff. So I'll probably lean towards Russian.
Yeah.
But it should be a good game, actually.
I'm going to be controversial. Well, not controversial. I'm just going to say I think it's going to be a draw. I think St Mary's playing quite well. I think the only question mark I'd have is maybe Kirill's available. He missed last week's game. Paul Gregg went and goal. St Mary's, but I have to say, don't think it's had one save to make. Maybe one at most. So obviously it's going to be a different game for this week. Alex Harrison didn't play last week. I don't know if he's got a knock at the moment. He's resting himself maybe for this game. But he'll be him and Carl. Carl played well as usual. It'll be a big game for them too, against a Russian team that's blessed attackingly.
Yeah, they've got up against Josh and Mike Williams. It's going to be a tough ask for them, but you know, if anyone can do it, they can.
The game I'm down to go to is Douglas Royal versus Douglas Athletic. And you were there last week in a quirk of the fixtures. It was the cup game that you were talking last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, down at Springfield Road. And to be fair, it was a day that Royal want to forget. The game was gone after 5 minutes. Mark Cowan had scored twice for Dafka early doors. So and they ended up winning 6-0. It was comprehensive. Second half, though, I have to say, Royal did not give up. They kept on going. Their youngsters, we've talked about them so many times. Your Jack Kamadas, your Luke Simmons, they play so well. They keep plugging away. But this is a home match, and I think they'll have learnt a few lessons from that game last week, so this could be a lot closer, I think.
Yeah, Royal are a point above the drop zone at the moment, having played 15. Colby have also got 11, and they've got a slightly inferior goal difference, as it were.
Yeah.
Braddon and Ramsey are currently in the ejector seats, but having played, Braddon have played 6 games less than Colby.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Ramsey have played 6 games less than Colby, and Bradon have played 5 games less. So the games in hand is where the hope lies for them two at the moment.
What would you rather have, points or games in hand?
I think it's a difficult one. I think it depends who these games in hand are against. So in that sense, you probably want the points.
Yeah.
I would say this game is big for Royal. They could. This is what I'm nicking a Tony Meppenism. Tony Meppenism, is that right?
I think we just coined a new phrase. Then.
Yeah,
I like it.
He calls it these games like these bonus points. I think you know where you put you got to be beating taking teams points off the teams around them, and then games like this, if you get something else, that's a bonus. So. I think Athletic, although they're only just above Royal in the league, would be favourites for this one. But if Royal can get something out of it, it would be a massive boost to their survivor hopes.
I agree.
Is he just another phrase for a six-pointer?
Yeah.
Is he just a lamb?
No, no, well, he doesn't tend to use six-pointer.
Is he not?
We use nine-pointer for big ones, yeah.
Oh, would you put that in a nine-pointer bracket?
No, I don't think that's a nine-pointer. Two teams that have sort of, if Brad and Colby would be a 9 point.
Brad and Ramsey,
yeah.
So, can you see both teams? Sorry, I keep asking you questions.
Can
you see both teams staying up?
I don't. Oh, the two that are in there at the moment, I think Ramsey. Yeah, I can see them. I can, because I think Ramsey are in a world of pain at the moment, and they need something to kick them out of it. Bradon have slumped, but I think Colby are the ones that are going to... They've started leaking a lot of goals again recently.
For me, Ramsey are as good as down. I hope, you know, they could prove us wrong, but the fight is between Bradon and Colby Royal, I think, for that.
Yeah. I think Douglas Athletic, even though they've only got 13 points, so a safe for me.
We look at that poor run that Dafka had. They played all the top teams, didn't they? In such a short spell of time. So they've got other games coming up against the team they'll be expected to get points from.
So I'm unfortunately, for any Royal fans out there, I'm going to go for a Dafka win. Rich?
I'm going to go for a Royals win.
Ooh.
I know they obviously were beat last week, but just go something different, isn't it? I've been going for an away win every time, so let's go for a home win.
Yeah.
There you go, I've mixed it up, I'll go for a Dafka win.
The final game in the Canal Life Premier League on Saturday sees Colby host Old Boys at the Station Fields. Now, as I've just been saying, Colby seem to be leaking a lot of goals and they're playing a lot of the top teams at the moment.
Yeah, it's another tough game store, I think. And they go into this on the back of a heavy defeat to Geordies in the Cup last week as well, don't they?
They've conceded, played St George's twice in recent weeks and conceded 8 in both games.
Consistent,
huh? Consistent. Old Boys... And, you know, for the Colby fan listening, Dickie, if he's listening, you'd have to say, Albers haven't played that much recently, maybe they're to be exploited. They're not quite as ruthless as St George's, you know.
Yeah, well, again, harking back to that Old Boys rushing game, that first half, Old Boys were impressive. They played really well. They created so many chances. Could have been out of sight at half time on another day. So they can take heart from that, despite the final scoreline. If they can play like this, they'll get a comfortable win on Saturday, I think.
Rich?
Yeah. I probably put this one in the bracket of 3 points. Old Boys probably too strong. I was speaking to Kinney the other day playing centre. I was surprised he was still playing centre back for Colby. That just shows you.
He came on against Geordies, yeah.
Yeah, he's a cracking player, Kinney. But he probably admit himself that there should be probably other players knocking on the door and stuff. So I think his young lad plays as well.
Yeah, the goalkeeper. Yeah, he played well against Geordies when I watched him in the cup.
Which must be actually incredible that. Goalkeeper, the son, and then the father playing the son.
Yeah, there can't be many that have trodden that path. But
come on, Dad, mark up.
I don't know. Yeah, there are the bright spots there. Carl Hickey's a good player, and we've talked about Danny Lane and Jordan Brynmer Smith before. Yeah. But I just see Old Boys winning this, and unfortunately, that leaves Colby on 18 games, and they're running out of time now. They're only got six games
left.
One of the few. Right, in Division 2, there's a solitary game, isn't there?
Lovely use of the word solitary there, mate.
Foxdale are playing Ayr United at Billy Goat Park, hopefully. Foxdale still in the promotion hunt, firmly. They've dropped in recent weeks down to, sixth in the
They're sixth, but they have got games in hand on all sides above them, so... A win here would put them level on points with UCD and Moran. So UCD are in fourth place at the moment. So they have got an inferior goal difference. So I fancy getting a few goals this weekend. But yeah, it'll keep them right in the mix. For Ayr, well, it has been a tough season for them. Obviously, they lost heavily last week and you saw them play. Were there any positives for them?
To be fair, Elliot Curran, Jamie Callister, the captain, both of them played Premier League with Laxey and Ayr when they were in the Premier League. And they can... they look good players.
Yeah,
good. Carly Christian in goal, he's only young, he's still learning his trade. They've got some good youngsters there, Dylan Gamble and a few others that, you know, give them a few years, maybe a stronger team there. But to me, they just looked a bit. Dean Tate had an off game. You know, I'm his number one fan. He was living off scraps last week. They just need something to link the midfield to attack for me. And it looked a bit ragged at the back as well. But
do they need a Danny Scott in the centre?
That's it. They need someone to put
every
a foot
team
on the ball.
Misses Danny Scott. They need a Danny Scott in your team.
And Elliot, yeah, he tries to do that, but then because he has to come back for the ball. They were sitting very deep against St Mary's last week and sort of created their own problems in a way.
Yeah, couldn't get out.
So, there are positives there. They did keep going for the full 90, and what's a massive pitch when you come from there, pitch in comparison. Yeah. But I think Foxtel will have the attacking arsenal to see them off this week.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Rich?
Wouldn't disagree with that. I think you're spot on.
Well, it's very rare that someone says that. Right.
No, no, no.
Now, time for my two favourite features of the week. We'll kick off with the old faithful Combi Corner.
Right, thanks for picking that up, mate. It was a good day for Douglas Royal. Combi Royal, it was the only game that was played. But they thrashed Colby 7-1 at Bar Fletcher.
So, and Peyton scored a few goals in that?
Yes, he certainly did. So we've got... That was their fourth win of the season, and it allowed the Whites to leapfrog Ramsey up into 10th, which mirrors their Premier League position at the moment, I believe. Sean Traylor got a hat-trick, Adam Peake got a brace, Graham Gordon and Jack Pearce both scored.
Adam and Sean have both played first team this season, so I think maybe they're either coming back or...
Good bear, Sean.
Yeah, Sean. So that could maybe... influenced his selection on Chris's and Fitzy's selection on Saturday,
I think so, yeah. So it was a good result for them. In Combi 2, it was Youthy took another big step towards the title. They thrashed third place Castletown 5-0. Sonny Curfey got two, Braden Birchill, Tony Cord, and Danny Allison scored for the rest of their goals. That leaves them 3 points clear of Onken with a game in hand. Onken, they had to work hard for their 3 points. Now, this was on the adjacent pitch to where I was last week. D&D, obviously, they were 2-0 up in that game. And that was at half time. I think it was goals from Owen Stewart and Joe Kenyick. But in the second half, Connor Dawson, Jay Pollard, and Joe Rees secured a potentially vital win for the O's. So, a good comeback for them.
Owen Stewart looks a bit of a prospect, Rich.
Yeah, he scored the last couple of goals on Sunday. Obviously, he scored on Saturday as well. Good player. Obviously, the Stewart clan is
firmly entrenched in Douglas and District.
It always will be, forever. Owen's a good player, clever player. Still developing, though, not just in terms of size, but in terms of football and intelligence and stuff. So, a couple of years, he'd be even better.
Further down the league, Jordan Birchall was the hero for Governors Athletic. They recorded their third win of the season, thanks to a 2-1 success at Foxdale. So, Birchall got two, and Jamie Keane netted for the hosts. And the final game, it was a high-scoring affair at Clyde Vane, where Maloo and Michael shared 8 goals. Tim Collister, of YouTube fame, grabbed a brace. Jordan Krypner and Rob Mellon got the others for the hosts. Vince Willis, Chris McGree, James Kersley and Chris Clegg scored for Michael.
Tim Collister scores some goals, doesn't he? He must be one of the leading marksmen in that division.
He's a cracking player.
Yeah, good player. Right, now, my new favourite feature.
This is brilliant.
Do you like this, Rich? It's a recent invention, but I think it does exactly what it says.
What people can't see, though, is how wrapped up Dave is now as he does the webinar, because it's obviously cold out there, Dave.
Don't bloody turn the radiators on in this place. So, you've picked this weather up because...
Dave reads the weather. Go on.
But there's no punchline to this one. It's like, there's nothing...
We'll just read the weather, then.
Can I ask, what's your source first? Like, where did you get this from?
Yeah, from the government.
No,
official. My insiders at the...
And you put your own spin on it?
Yeah.
Right, go for it, Dave. No pressure.
Yes, so it's going to be raining in the morning, and then it'll get heavy in the afternoon, but it's going to be quite a lot of rain. Quite a lot of wind, sorry. So it's going to be hell on earth up at Gary Moore, I think, tomorrow.
And Bala Fletcher.
Yeah.
So my kind of weather forecast, by the way.
Yeah.
But it should be raining
in the morning. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, that's what you want to know. Not...
Yeah. Well, it will be raining goals across the island. So that's about it.
Possibly, if there's postponement. Were we saying a high postponement factor, do you think?
I think so, yeah. We've had quite a bit of bad weather already this week, and I don't know how the pitch has held up after last week. So Yeah, it doesn't look good to me.
Well, you know what that means, Dave?
Yeah.
It means a double page spread on the Richard Brandt story will be in the Examiner on Monday. If there's no
book's coming out soon.
Is it?
Can we get a signed copy, please?
What have you called it?
The Truth. The Dish of the Truth.
The Insider.
What was your because you obviously guessed how many postponements there were last year. What was the
Well, I went for 12. You two went for 7 and 8, didn't you? So hang on. 1, 2, 3. This is pretty boring listening, but there you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
No.
8?
Gary was right, was he?
Yeah, I think Gary said 8. Would you go for 7 though?
Yeah.
Well done, Gary. Yeah. Gary Waitman.
What does he win?
He wins the adulation of the listening public.
Yes, all three of them. Yeah.
Right, on that conchel, Rich, thanks for coming in. Honestly, it's been a pleasure to get to know you over the last couple of years. You've been made our life a lot easier.
So
we
have.
Thanks for the help as well. Good work, you guys do.
And obviously, you'll go down in the annals of Douglas and District history forevermore.
Yeah, is Dave going to update your page on the website?
I hope so. I'm going to register for the Masters in 3 years' time, so when I come back, I'll be able to don a D&D kit once more.
Oh, well, can we get the exclusive interview when you do come
back? Absolutely, I'll let you boys know first.
It's not bad.
Right, remember you can listen to all the Manx 40 Pounds at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. As Rich alluded to earlier, they're all on that there iTunes. He says he's going to subscribe. We'll be watching.
We will. We know.
We will know. You can listen to last year's. You were in last year with Dave Matheson, so you can hear the full story about Abu Skelton and the Douglas and District kits, can't you?
Abu Skelton.
You can. Right, until next week. Until next week when I'm in Middlesbrough.
Yes, exciting time.
You won't be there. It's going to be weird. I might get you to read the weather and take it with me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if you're on the team coach, can you ask the boys where my leather jacket is, please?
I will do.
I need that back.
I will make it my mission to find that.
It's been about 4 or 5 years now. It's just getting a bit of a...
All right, Dave, we don't need to go on about it. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.